Welcome to the first of the summer lecture series of Agudas Yisrael of America. Okay. Tonight, we're going to speak about a midah that I'm sure you're all familiar with and you all heard many lectures about. But we're going to tackle it from the opposite angle that you're used to hearing about it from. We're going to discuss the midah of gaiva. That's arrogance. Whereas, usually you've heard about the perils of gaiva and about what a terrible midah it is, tonight we're going to discuss that fine line between the negative type of arrogance and the very positive type of self-love and self-esteem that the Torah demands that we have. That the Torah wants us to love ourselves is clear. And it's Mefurish a Pasuk in Chumash. The Pasuk says, V'yohavta l'reyacha kamoicha. And anybody who understands the simple translation of that knows that there's no way to fulfill that Pasuk unless you love yourself. V'yohavta l'reyacha kamoicha. But unfortunately, self-love is often confused with gaiva and self-esteem with arrogance. And that's where the Yetzer Hara comes in to ruin our lives. We're going to start with the Rambam. The Rambam discusses the potential of each individual. We know that it's the job of the Yetzer Hara to try to convince us not to fulfill our potential. Now usually what the Yetzer Hara does is he takes an individual action or an individual nisoyan that you're going through and says, even though you have the potential to fulfill this nisoyan, to be oimed by nisoyan, the Yetzer Hara tells you don't. That's usually the way it works. The Yetzer Hara has one tactic that it uses to convince us to ruin our entire lives in one fell swoop. And the Yetzer Hara tries to convince us in its duty to induce us not to fulfill our potential. It tries to convince us that our potential is a lot less than it really is. Now, I would like each of you to think to yourselves about yourselves, what you're cut out to accomplish in this world, what levels you can reach and what heights you can accomplish. Think about a role model that you admire and think to yourself if you're really cut out to be like that role model. You admire her or him or whatever. And you respect her, and you have a lot of honor for her. But think to yourself, are you really cut out to be like that person? Well, depending upon who your role model is, your answer will be yes or no. I'm going to read you what the Rambam says. Now this Rambam, ladies, is unique, because the Rambam in his entire Sefer, not surprisingly, does not really resort to calling people names. The Rambam was the Rambam. But here's an exception. The Rambam sets down a rule, and the Rambam says whoever doesn't believe this rule is a goylem, a dummy. Those are the Rambam's words. And so when the Rambam makes such a strong statement like that, it behooves us to pay attention to what he says. And I'm reading you the Rambam. Al yavor b'machshav techo. Don't even think this thing that the fools among the goyim say, and the majority of dummies among the Jews. Don't even think of this. That Hashem decrees on a person whether he'll be a tzaddik or a rasha. Don't even think that. Ein ha-dovar kein is not so. Elo, now listen to this. Kol odom roi loy lihiyois. Everybody in the world can be, everybody is capable of becoming tzaddik k'moshe Rabbeinu, a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Oy rosha ki Yerovim ben Nevot. Or a rosha as evil as Yerovim ben Nevot. Now you hear what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam saying that this principle that we are all aware of, which states that Hashem does not preordain our madrega, and it's up to our bechira to become what we want, extends so far that every single person has the capability of being a tzaddik as great, or tzaddikus, as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, how many of us in this room really believe that? How many here really believe that you could reach the level of righteousness, of tzidkis like Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe as big as, with a little gaiva as big as, let's say, Sora Shnira or something. But Moshe Rabbeinu, and with a little more gaiva, maybe you'll reach the level of Yeshua ben Nun. But the Rambam says, no, that's nothing. You could be higher. Every single person in the world can be a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and if you don't believe it, you're a dummy, he says. You're a goylem. It's incredible. And the Yetzer Hara comes to tell us that we can't. How do we understand this? How do we understand the fact that everybody is capable of being a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu? A Rosh as big as Yeruvim ben Nevat, I'm confident in all of you that you all believe you could become. It's very easy. A Rosh as Yeruvim ben Nevat, not difficult at all. But a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, that's another story. And let me explain why we don't realize this. The Yetzer Hara has a trick. And the Yetzer Hara trick goes as follows. Say you do an Aveira, and you enjoy the Aveira. Or say you don't even do the Aveira, but you're tempted to do it, and you know you'd enjoy it anyway. Or, let's say even you have a whole career of doing Aveiras. And you like your life. It's fun to do Averis. Averis are fun. If they wouldn't be fun, then they wouldn't have a Yetzer Hara telling you to do it. And the Yetzer Hara comes to you and tells you like this. Look who you are. Look what you enjoy doing. Look who you enjoy being with. And what you enjoy thinking and saying and doing. Look at you. This is what you are. And this is what you're cut out to be. And yes, it's important to do mitzvahs and restrict yourself and paint yourself into a corner, and it's important to overcome your Yetzer Hara and do mitzvahs and go against your own nature. But the bottom line is that this is your nature. This is what you're cut out to be. So why bother spending your life in an uphill battle of being something that you're not? You admire Moshe Rabbeinu, and you admire Yeshua ben Nun, and Rachel and Leah and Sarah and Rivka. But that's not you, that's them. You learn about them, you speak about them, you'll admire them, and you're Yaitza. But that's not you. It can't be you. You who enjoy what you did last night, you think you have the potential to be a tzaddikus like Rachel Imenu. No way. Doesn't make any sense. Rochli Menu, Malach Hashem Tzvokais. Not you. That's what the Yetzer Hara says. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara adds something to its argument, and it states, all your life you've been told that you're worthless. And all your life you've been told that you're only good at doing bad, and you're not really, and you're pretty bad at doing good. You've been told that there's no way that you're going to be a tzaddikus. You've been castigated for all the things that you've done, and you've been convinced that you're pretty much worthless as far as the tzaddikus mold is concerned. And it's true. That's what you've been told, so why bother being something that you're not? And that's the bottom line. The Yetzer Hara takes our taivas, our urges and temptations, and dangles them in front of us. And says, look at this. You think somebody that has this is capable of being a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? The Yetzer Hara is the prince of lies, and this is a big one. And the Yetzer Hara is telling you this without giving you one piece of information that you're missing. That piece of information to counter this argument of the Yetzer Hara is that there's a major difference between your taivas between your urges and yourselves. Two totally different things, and one has nothing to do with the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everybody in this world with arms, legs, eyes, nose, and the Yetzer Hara. A fact of life. The only difference between your eyes and your nose and your Yetzer Hara is that it's possible to be a human being without an eyes or a nose. But you can't be a human being without a Yetzer Hara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's kaviyochol. It's like a game. He injects you with this drug at birth. That's the Yetzer Hara. That convinces you, this little drug that convinces you that you love doing Aveiros, and you do. Not your fault you love doing Aveiros, that's the way Hashem made you. That's what the Yetzer Hara is. And everybody's expected to do Aveiros. Expected to fail. That's life. And our job in life is to do mitzvahs despite this little Yetzer Hara that Hashem injected within us. It's like a little malach sitting on your shoulder, whispering in your ear, do this and do that. And you can't get away from that voice. And you think that just because you have that little guy sitting on your shoulder, that determines who you are and what you're capable of doing. I have in front of me the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, written by Rav Yitzchak Hutner Zatzal, the old Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. Rav Hutner was a big Talmud Chacham, a big Baal Machshava, but above all else, he was a great educator. Put out an incredible amount of exceptional Talmidim, all different personalities and sizes and shapes. And this was his talent. And in Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, in the letters of Rav Hutna, number 128, Rav Hutna's writing to a Talmud who writes to him that once upon a time, I don't know who this Talmud is, he says once upon a time he had aspirations to be a Gadol Hador. He wanted to be a great man. And now, Chaval, he sees all his aspirations dashed to the floor. He writes, he did this Aveira and that Aveira. And he neglected this mitzvah and that mitzvah. And he writes a whole list of confessions to Rav Hutna. And he's depressed and disappointed in himself, because he sees his dreams shattered in front of him. And he would like the Rosh Yeshiva to help him deal with it. And the Rosh Yeshiva writes back, you make me laugh. That's a quote. He says, you make me laugh. He says, we have a problem in this generation. And the problem is that whenever we speak about Gedolei Hador, we only speak about their last sach hakol, the sum total of what they were. He says, when we speak about the Chafetz Chaim, what do you think of when you envision the Chafetz Chaim? You envision a tzaddik that sat with bare necessities and never spoke Lashon Hara in his life. We speak about the ness of the Taharas HaLoshen of the Chafetz Chaim. But you know what we don't speak about that was there? All the Chafetz Chaim's inner battles and his failures and the Chafetz Chaim's retreats that he had and the defeats he had at the hands of the Yetzer Hara. They were there, assuming the Chafetz Chaim was a human being and not a malach. Assuming the Chafetz Chaim was a human being, he had a Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara attacked the Chofetz Chaim just like it attacks us, with the exact same dark and dirty urges and temptations that it dangles in front of us. And there was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon that came over to the Vilna Gaon and told him, Vilna Gaon, I'd be just like you if I had your Yetzer Hara. He said, you have such a small Yetzer Hara, Vilna Gaon, he tells him. If I had your Yetzer Hara, I'd be like you. And the Vilna Gaon answered that if you had my Yetzer Hara, you wouldn't even be Shemesh Shabbos. Kol ha-gadol mech-aveira yitzray gadol mimenu, the Gemara says. Everybody has the Yetzer Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim was not a malach, the Chafetz Chaim was a human. And before he got to that madrega, where he did not speak Lashon Hara, he went through Gehenim, Shiva Madure Gehenim, and he did speak Lashon Hara. And he did over and over again, until he finally resisted and he finally was able to overcome that Yetzer Hara that knocked him to the ground so many times, and he became the Chafetz Chaim. And even then, believe me, the Yetzer Hara didn't leave him alone. He says, instead of discussing our gedolim in terms of people sitting al nois hadesha, it's like sitting in Gan Eden with the crown of the Shechinah on their heads, which is what dead people do, we should speak of gedolim in terms of a fiery battle against all their dark and terrible urges. That's what a gadol is. A gadol is somebody that fights. A gadol is not somebody that sits comfortably with his yetzer tov. A gadol is somebody that constantly engages the yetzer hara in battle. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Shiva yipol tzadik v'kom. The tzadik falls 7 times and then he gets up. And Rav Huttner says that the tipshim believe that the pasuk means that even though the tzaddik fell down 7 times, at the end he gets up. That's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk means because the tzaddik fell 7 times, because of those 7 defeats, that's why he gets up and becomes a tzaddik. Without those 7 defeats, you don't have a tzaddik. Vayar Hashem es kol asher osa v'hinei toiv ma'oid. Toiv. Zeyetzer toiv, ma'oid, zeyetzer hara. And Rav Huttner writes, he says, I'll tell you a secret. Ahuvi, he says, hineni loichitz oischa levavi, I press you to my chest. V'loichish ba'oznachon, I whisper in your ear. Ki ilu hoya mechtovcha misaprali aloidois ha-mitzvahs u'maisim toivim shelcha, if your letter would have described to me all the mitzvahs u'maisim toivim that you did, I would have said that I got from you a letter that's toiv, that's good. Now that your letter describes all the downfalls and defeats and stumbling blocks that you encountered, behold, I say, shekibalti mimcha michtav toiv ma'oid. He says, you have a spirit that burns within you to become a Gadol Hador. Please, don't think of Gedolei Hador as people who are one with their Yetzer Tov. Rather, think of Gedolei Hador in terms of people who engage in fiery battles against all their dark and low desires. Everybody has them. Just some of us are a little embarrassed to discuss them. So you'll never know anybody has them except you, because yours you can feel. He writes, says, you write to me, he tells him, that you'll never forget this desire you once had to be a gadol. He says, I don't understand how can you be such a chutzpinik to be able to contradict an open reality. Didn't you grow from the time you started in yeshiva? And didn't you rise, Michael Al-Khoyl? He says, I know you're not such a chutzpinik. But what's the problem? If you find that your Yetzer Hara overcomes you, you think, b'tipshuscha, in your foolishness, u'b'tmimuscha, and in your naivete, shekvar ovdo tikvasecha, that you lost hope. Barecha poshin mavim li degicho, I laugh at you, he says. You have the potential to become a god. I want to tell you again what the Gemara states about the value of each individual person. And please pay careful attention, because it's an incredible piece of Talmud Bavli. We know that if any Aveira needs to be done in order to save a person's life, we do the Aveira. If a person has to eat treif in order to save his life, he eats treif. If a person has to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save his life, he's Mechal Shabbos. If a person can't put on tefillin and that'll save his life, then that's what he does. There are 3 exceptions to this rule. Gili Arayis, incest, adultery, Shvichas Domim, murder, and Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Now, these are 3 major exceptions to a fundamental Torah principle, and that is, V'chai Bohem V'loi Shiyomus Bohem. The Torah was given for us to live with and not to die with. Therefore, these 3 Averis must come with a tremendous source from a pasuk or from something that tells us that rather than commit these Averis, one must die. And the truth is that 2 out of the 3 have a source. Gili Arroyos and for Avodah Zarah, there's a posuk that tells us clearly. If someone comes over to you and says, bow down to this idol or I shoot, I have to say shoot. But for murder, there's no posuk anywhere. It says nowhere in Chumash, nowhere in Nach, and there's no halacha l'moishim Sinai, no limud from the Yud Gimel Midoy Shehatayrin Dereshes Bohen, which tells us that if a person comes over to you and says, kill Ploini or I'll kill you, that you have to say shoot. There's no source for that halacha. And the Gemara says it's plain logic. You want to hear the Gemara's logic? It goes like this. It says, well, some guy comes over to Reuven and tells Reuven, kill Shimon or I'll kill you. Objectively speaking, using pure logic, somebody has to live and somebody has to die. There's no way out of that. Who should live and who should die? Well, says the Gemara, obviously, whoever is more valuable to Hashem should live, and whoever is less valuable should die. It's sad, but somebody has to live and someone has to die. And whoever is more valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whoever is most valuable to the Torah, he should live. Right? Objective equation. Then the Gemara says, Reuven, who is presented with this ultimatum, kill your friend or I'll kill you, how does he know who's more valuable to Hashem, him or his friend? No way of knowing. And since there's no way of knowing, he has to refrain from committing an act, come what may, even if the guy pulls the trigger. Now, ladies, I want to describe a scenario based on this Gemara. Someone comes over to the Chofetz Chaim, a guy, and tells the Chofetz Chaim, kill this lady or I'll kill you. And that lady is one of you. Hope you don't mind using yourselves as examples, but I want to bring out a point. You hear? Chofetz Chaim sitting there, he's a big tzaddik, he wants to do what Hashem says. Now imagine this, okay? And the Chofetz Chaim figures, well, you know, someone has to live and someone has to die. And you're sitting there sweating, you know, because like there's a gun at your temple. Someone has to live and someone has to die. Whoever Hashem considers more valuable, that's who has to live over here. Whoever Hashem considers less valuable has to die. Chofetz Chaim goes through all of Chumash by heart. Nothing there to tell him what to do. He goes through all of Shas and all of Tanakh, nothing. The Chofetz Chaim says, I don't know if I'm more valuable to Hashem than this lady over here. And therefore, I have to give my life so that this lady should live. You hear? And this lady could be every single one of us in this room, except me. Now, the only reason, ladies, that this never happened, that the Chofetz Chaim never gave his life for any of you, is because nobody offered the Chofetz Chaim such an ultimatum. But had he, the Chofetz Chaim would have been obligated to give his life so that you may live, because maybe your potential is greater than his, and your job in this world is greater than his, and maybe you're more valuable to Hashem than he is. Now imagine had that happened, had the Chofetz Chaim given his life so that you should live and fulfill your potential in the world, what kind of responsibility you would feel, what kind of yoke you would feel on your shoulders to be the best you can be. But you know something? That responsibility is there anyway. Because just because the guy didn't come to the Chofetz Chaim and tell him that, that doesn't change the halacha. And it doesn't change your responsibility. And if a guy would have come to Moshe Rabbeinu and given him the same ultimatum, say, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll kill you unless you kill that guy. Moshe Rabbeinu has to figure that whoever's more valuable to Hashem can live. And I don't know who's more valuable to Hashem, me or this Shmendrik. And yes, even if it's a Shmendrik, the halacha is like that. Moshe Rabbeinu has to die so Shmendrik can live. You know why? Because Shmendrik has the potential to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. And it doesn't matter how many aveiras the Yetzirah convinced Shmendrik to do. It doesn't matter how many movies he saw the night before, or how many things he did, or how many undesirable activities he was involved in, or what his thoughts were the day before, or what his plans are, or what kind of evil lurks in the guy's heart. It don't matter. The halacha is, nevertheless, this guy, with all the evil, and with all the averis, and with all his thoughts, may be more valuable than Moshe Rabbeinu. That's every single one of us in this room. May have blood redder than Moshe Rabbeinu's, and there's no way to know. Doesn't that change things a little? Change our look on ourselves? There was a big gadol named the Netziv, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. At a certain point in his life, he wanted to become a carpenter. What he really did was he became Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin. But at a point in his life, he wanted to be a carpenter. And after a while, he said he's glad he didn't. You know why? He says, because when he gets up to Shemayim as a carpenter, Hashem will pull out from under his throne the Sefer Eimek HaNetziv, which is the Sefer that Netziv wrote. He would open up to the title page and he'd show me, he said, where it says, written by Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And he'd go through all the pages of Chedushei Torah and he'd ask me, Naftali, why didn't you write this? What would I say? When we get up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to whip out from under his Kiseh HaKavod all sorts of Svarim and say, why didn't you write this? With your name on the front, in another dimension, this is what could have been. All chesed that you could have done. All the poor people. You have a poor neighbor. You had a neighbor who needed help. He's going to show you a video of that neighbor with all the help she needed. So why didn't you do this? And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come up with a movie of a whole different you. And say, why weren't you this? This is you. This is what you could have been. Why didn't you do it? And it doesn't matter where you're holding. You could be the biggest Russia in the world. Hashem is going to mun you and he'll nail you for not being the biggest tzaddik. You know, if you teach in a school, they always tell you that if you have like a D student that always gets D's. Well, you got to like mun her, how come she's not a C student? If you have a C student, so you try to push her to be a B and a B to an A. If you have a D student, there's no way you can call in a D student into your office and say, hey, D student, how come you didn't get an A? It doesn't work. You could push somebody up a little. This works in Olam HaZeh, in Beis Yankiv. In Olam HaBo, it's not that way. In Olam HaBo, everybody is going to be asked, why weren't you an A-plus tzaddik? And I'll tell you an incredible Gemara. The Gemara says that there are two types of robbers. Ganovim. One is technically called a ganov. And one is a gazlan. A ganov is a burglar that comes into your house in the middle of the night, hidden in the shadows. He skulks about in the darkness so no one should see him. A gazlan is somebody who robs out in the open. A purse snatcher. Somebody who doesn't pay back a loan that you gave him. You know what he did. He doesn't hide. He's a gazlan. Which is a worse avera? As the Gemara, the ganov is worse. Because the gazlan, he's not afraid of nobody. He's not afraid of God, and he's not afraid of people. But the ganov is obviously not afraid of Hashem, but nevertheless, he tzitters, he shivers from people. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to skulk about in the shadows. He puts the fear of people over the fear of God. Well, that's a worse avera, and that the Gemara uses as the explanation as to why the punishment for burglary is greater than the punishment for robbery. I want to tell you something. As the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Excuse me, it's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Gemara says, was on his deathbed. And all his students came in to be with him in his last moments. They asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, please give us a bracha. One last one. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, may you recognize the fear of God as much as you feel the fear of human beings. Said the Talmidim of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and that's all? That's all? Said Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, halavai. You let me know when you get to this madrega and we'll talk further. This madrega of putting the fear of Hashem on equal plateau with the fear of human beings is the madrega that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that great tzaddik from among the Tanoim, wished and hoped for and prayed for his greatest students. And that burglar that sneaks into your house in the middle of the night and takes out your tape recorder, that burglar in Shamayim is going to be punished for not putting the fear of Hashem on equal level with fear of human beings, meaning that high madrega that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wished on his students, every robber, every burglar is going to be held responsible for not reaching. We're not going to ask the burglar, why were you a burglar and why weren't you a regular law-abiding citizen? We're going to ask the burglar, why weren't you on the level of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Talmidim? You have a drug addict, a drug rehabilitation center. So when you rehabilitate a drug addict, it's considered success if you get him to stop taking drugs. That he should be a member of the Chevra Kadisha, or that he should be a senator, or that he should be a big Baal Chesed, or a big Talmud Chacham, or a big Masmid. You don't even bother. Consider a success if you get him off of the streets. Or if you can't get him off of the streets, make him a senator anyway. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that way. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this drug addict is considered a failure unless he becomes what he can become. And herein is the dope. He can become a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, no matter what. This Rambam, when it was written, and he said that everybody could be a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't mean only tzaddikim can be such a great tzaddik. I mean, every Rasha could be a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. And they can, and you can. And if you believe you can't, you're making a big mistake. And it's your Yetzer Hara trying to convince you of it. And it's a cop-out. And it tries to tell you, me, this is all I'm capable of. I'm not capable of being such a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to be very embarrassed when we get up to Shemayim. There's a story with the Baron Kotler, the great Rosh Yeshiva of the Lakewood Yeshiva Zatzal, where there was a bacher in the yeshiva who other bacherim in yeshiva suspected that he was not putting on tefillin in the morning. And not putting on tefillin is a major offense. What the bacherim did was they once took out the shel yad and the shel rosh from his tefillin bag and replaced them with two onions. Came back a few weeks later and the onions were there and no tefillin. Well, they came to Rabban Kotler and they told him, we have proof beyond a reasonable doubt that this and this guy doesn't put on tefillin. You know what Rabban said? He said, yeah, so? He says, I'll throw him out. Rabban said, no. He said, I don't understand. Rabban said that this guy belongs in a yeshiva. He needs a yeshiva. He's a hospital. You tell a guy, get out of the hospital because you're sick? Makes no sense. A guy on the street that doesn't put on tefillin, you tell him get into a yeshiva. A guy in a yeshiva, you tell him get out? They wouldn't listen. They were pressing Rav Aaron, pressing. Aaron wouldn't budge. Aaron said, you learn Torah, this guy can still be something. And a person that told me the story is himself a Rosh Yeshiva here in Flatbush. He wouldn't tell me the name of the guy with the onions, obviously. But he did tell me that now the man is Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. You could be sure he puts on tefillin every day. You're not allowed to give up on anybody. And when you say not to give up, it doesn't mean that to give up that he has to remain a Russia. Not allowed to give up on anybody, and you're not allowed to say, well, this person can't be a big tzaddik one day. Because he can. The Rambam says so. I make it up. Shiva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The tzaddik falls 7 times, and then he gets up. So this guy with the tefillin had 6 more times left. You fall, and you fall, and you fall. And you know what you're supposed to do when the Yetzer Hara knocks you down? KO in the first round? Shake your head, you get up, and you ask for more. Because that's what life's about. Life's a fight. And you're in one corner with the boxing gloves, and the Yetzer Hara's in the other. And you're going to come out bruised and battered. And you know in the olden days when they had the sword and shield warriors, any warrior that had a big scar on his face or on his body, that scar was considered like a medal of honor. Whoever had more scars was more respected. Because it means that the guy went through a tough battle and he survived. When we get up to Shamayim, those 7 times that the Yetzer Hara knocked us down, those are going to be our scars. But each scar is a badge of honor. Maybe what this is what it means when the Gemara says that when a person does tshuva mi'ahava, his averis is doinois nasis like his chuyos. His averis become mitzvahs. Because whereas the avera was once upon a time something for him to be ashamed of, now that he lost the battle but won the war, the avera is now something to be proud of, in the sense that it was one of the 7 nefilos that contributed to his uprising. The difference between gaiva and self-esteem is that gaiva is measured by how you react to your mitzvahs. You do too many mitzvahs, it generates a reaction inside. That's gaiva. Self-esteem is measured by how you react to your averis. A person does too many averis, he gets a reaction inside too. By whatever his reaction is, that's how you can tell how much he really loves himself. If he decides, well, I did all these averis, therefore I am thus and thus, he failed. If he decides I did this and this averis, and tomorrow is a new day, and tomorrow I will embark on my career of being a tzaddik as big as Moshe Rabbeinu, then he passed. There are many things that go into the equation of measuring your potential. It says you could be a bigger tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu, but it doesn't say you could be a bigger navi. It doesn't say you can be a bigger prophet. Pasuk says you can. It doesn't say you can be as big as Talmud Chacham. It doesn't say you can be as smart as Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say you can be as great a leader as Moshe Rabbeinu. But a tzaddik, as righteous as Moshe Rabbeinu, that we can all be. And when we assess our potential, ladies, because it's the most important assessment you're going to make in your life, because your goals and the path you're going to take in this world is determined upon how far you feel you could reach. A guy who got straight A's in school is not going to become a sewer worker. He's not. He feels he can do more. You're going to become what you feel you could become. Therefore, this assessment is what's going to determine your life. And a lot of things go into the equation. A lot of things. There are opportunities. Your talents, your rebellion, your surroundings, but the averis that you do, and the yetzer hara that you have, and your feelings and how much you enjoy the avera, that doesn't come into the equation. Nevertheless, you can still become a greater tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is what the Rambam says is the fundamental of Yiddishkeit. And even if somebody isn't a straight A student, as long as he's not a dummy, says the Rambam, besides being capable of being a great tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu, he's capable of understanding this principle clearly and unequivocally. Have a good evening.